In the darkness, in the wilderness, many hopeless souls are lost. But there's a beacon to guide the wandering. It's the power of the cross.
We'll hold out the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time.
We'll hold out the light, let it brightly shine.
Through the years we've seen the lives that He's redeemed. As the message was made known,
so we'll keep sharing Christ, no matter what the price, till our Savior calls us home. We'll hold out the light, we won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time. We'll hold out the light, let it brightly shine. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Let it shine, we'll hold out the light. We won't be ashamed to go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We'll proclaim the truth as long as there is time. We'll hold out the light, let it brightly shine.
We are serving the Lord in Sanford, Maine, under Pastor Todd Bell at the Calvary Baptist Church. They've been there for just over a year now. Is that right, Nathan? Or just under, almost
right out of a year.
We're very grateful and thankful for that. Our teens are going downstairs. I'm very grateful for Brother Bill, Miss Jennifer, and I'm thankful that our children have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. What a blessing that is. Let me mention one more time about our commitment pen. I placed some more on the communion table. If you've committed to the 40-day Bible reading challenge, I want you to pick up one of these pens. And whether you wear it or not, put it somewhere in a place in your home where you'll be able to see it. And it'll be a reminder that you've committed to the Lord to read God's Word for the next 40 days. How many of you would say, Brother Fred, I started reading my Bible and I committed to it, but boy, I've messed up. Would anybody be that brave to say, boy, I've messed up? Oh, yeah, many hands. Good, good. So here's what happens. When you make that mistake and you get off track, and that's perfectly, that's human, amen? When that happens, you just commit to another 40 days. All right, just do it again and hit the reset button and start counting down again, make the marks, And I suppose by the time you get to day 40, God will help you develop a habit, a lifelong habit of reading His Word. And that's what these pens are about. And I hope that you have one. I hope that you've committed to read God's Word. Would you turn with me? 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. And I want you to mark this phrase. This is very interesting. The Bible does not say, I will send thee to David. The Bible does not say, I will send thee to the giant slayer. The Bible does not say, I will send thee to the future king of Israel. The Bible says, I will send thee to who? Jesse. Would you mark that? I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. Jesse was a father. He was a special father. He wasn't an ordinary father. He was the father of a king. He was the father of a giant slayer. The Bible says, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call David to the sacrifice. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. Would you mark that? Jesse's the one being called. And I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified David. Is that what the Bible says? Jesse. Jesse and his sons. And called them to the sacrifice. We'll stop reading there, but I want you to just go and mark a few passages, a few verses while we're in this passage. Look with me at verse 5. Then Jesse called. Verse 9. Then Jesse made. Verse 10. Again, Jesse made. Look in verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Bible says in verse 11, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, would you look with me at verse 18? The Bible says, I've seen a son of Jesse. In verse 19, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse. The Bible says in verse 20, and Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. Would you look at verse 22? And Saul sent to Jesse. Wow, what a great emphasis in this passage of Scripture, not on King David, but David's father, Jesse, and the responsibility that he had. David would have never been able to face Goliath, and he certainly would have never been able to kill him without the influence of Jesse. David was a mighty king. He was a mighty warrior. He was a very valiant man because of the influence of his father in his life. Jesse was a faithful and godly father. What a difference a father makes in the life of his son. I want you to look at just briefly this morning at the life of Jesse, and then I want to give you just a few things that he taught David. Would you turn back with me in the Old Testament to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, and I want you to see a godly heritage. In Ruth chapter 4, it's the end of the book of Ruth, and what a beautiful, lovely story that God has given us in His Word of the kinsman redeemer, and how that God anticipated the fall of man, and God anticipated redeeming men from their sin. And God has chosen to use men, godly men, but very specifically, God has chosen to use fathers to redeem His people, not only Israel, but all those that put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And dear friend, I want you to know today that you can be saved. Right. You can have an eternal home in heaven by putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. In the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verse 17, the Bible says, and the woman, her neighbor, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of who? Jesse, the father of David. Listen to the influence that the Word of God, look at the emphasis that the Word of God places on this man by the name of Jesse. One more place, and then I'll let you sit still. Would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to look with me at this next text. It is so powerful. The book of Isaiah chapter 11 and the first verse. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. Again, I have just read through the story of David. I finished his life. I watched him die by faith. I believe the Word of God. I believe what God has promised is true. And I watched from his early youth, all through the days of his life, fighting and taking the head off Goliath, running from Saul and then his rebellious sons. I watched him flee and then die an old man. And I watched him charge Solomon. But I want you to see that is not the only influence that we have. This is not the only emphasis that we have in the Scripture about David. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, look at the promise Look at the covenant that God has given us. The Bible says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of David. No, not at all. Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Roots. Isn't that a blessing to see that God has used Jesse in such a mighty way? Would you turn back with me to the text? We were in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll return there quickly. But I want you to look with me at chapter 17. And I want you to understand that early on in the years and in the days of David's life, David was not known as the anointed of the Lord. David was not known as the giant slayer. David was not known as the king of Israel. David was known because of the influence that his father had in his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want you to look with me at verse 58. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Dad, I want you to know that I'm proud to be your son. I'm proud to be the son of Fred Hart. I'm very grateful for his influence in my life. I'm very thankful for the work ethic that he has. He'd still outwork me if his body had let him. I'm very thankful for the days that he spent with me in prayer. I'm very thankful for the faithfulness that he had to the church and to the Lord, and his commitment to raising me in a Christian home. And I am indebted to my father. I'm very thankful to be called the son of Fred Hart. David was characterized. He was known by his father, Jesse. Oh, what a great influence he had in his life. Would you pray with me? Let me share with you a few things that Jesse taught his son. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful to be in the church this morning. The pillar and the ground of the truth, what a holy responsibility, what a holy duty to look into thy eternal word and expound upon the truths that are in it. I pray today that you would help us to understand all that you've given us. I pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts. And oh Lord, today may we rejoice in the goodness of God. May we reflect on a godly man by the name of Jesse that raised up a giant killer. May we reflect on the life of a man by the name of Jesse that raised up a king in his home. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have those desires. Help us to be godly fathers like Jesse. We ask it now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Long before David ever picked up a sling and a stone to sling at Goliath's forehead, Jesse had put that sling in his hand and taught him how to sling it. Long before David ever sat on the throne of Israel or Judah, his father taught him responsibility and duty. Long before all the pressure of the kingdom of God was placed upon David, there was a man behind the scenes molding and fashioning his life. His name was Jesse. Understand that in the privacy of Jesse's home, there was a man that was raising a young boy to have responsibility and integrity and character. This man by the name of Jesse raised his sons to look and act like kings. He raised them with great responsibility. And because of that, God made a covenant with David that will endure through eternity. Let me share with you just quickly now a few things that Jesse taught his son David. The first one, when you turn back with me, we've already read through verse number 5, but I want to look at verse 5 one more time. The Bible says, and he said, "Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord." And then I want you to notice these next words, "Sanctify yourselves." Then the Bible says, "And come with me to the sacrifice." And then notice what happened. The first job, the first responsibility of Samuel with Jesse's family was this. It was to sanctify Jesse and his sons. I want you to understand that this first lesson that I want to teach you about was that Jesse taught his sons to be committed. Jesse taught David to be committed to God. The first and the greatest responsibility of the home is to teach our families about the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach them the truth of the Word of God, to teach them that there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that this world doesn't have some hope or a glimmer of hope, a scratch of hope. They have no hope outside of Jesus. And it is in the home where children realize that their hope is not in this world. Their hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesse taught David an early lesson when Samuel came to town that they would sanctify or set apart their family for God. All that we had families today that would raise their children to be sanctified or set apart for the Lord, committed to the cause of Christ. One of the greatest things that you'll ever do is commit to the Lord. I'm not saying commit to church, that's part of it. I want you to understand you can't be very committed to God and not committed to the church. Listen, I'm going to say that again because I need you to help me. You can't be seriously committed to God and not be committed to church. You say, Brother Fred, how can you say that? Because I want you to understand that Jesus Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. I want you to understand that God's plan for this dispensation, for this age, is the New Testament church. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we have the promise from God's Word that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church is an important part of every home. And I'm so thankful that I grew up in a home where I never had to ask the question, are we going to church today? I never thought for a moment whether or not we'd be at church on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were always there. It was never something that I had to address my parents about. As a matter of fact, if I were to ask that question, my parents would have scratched their head because something would have been out of place. I'm saying that Jesse taught David a very valuable lesson, and I seriously don't believe that he would have ever been able to be king over Israel if he wouldn't have learned the lesson of commitment to the things of God. We live in such a wishy-washy day. We live in such a day where people are so uncommitted to the things of God. Everything in this world takes precedence over the things of Christ. I feel like that when we get to heaven, we'll regret that. I feel like that when we're in the presence of Jesus, the things that we allowed to take His rightful spot, we'll regret in this life. Jesse early on taught David that he needed to be committed to God. He was sanctified or set apart for God and His purpose. Let me encourage fathers in the room today to teach as Jesse taught and teach commitment. What a great principle. The best teacher in this life is example. You may say things, but I want you to understand what you do speaks far louder than what you'll ever say. We must teach by example. Let's continue in the scripture. I'm going to share with you something else. Would you look with me at verse number 7? The Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Before you're too judgmental there at that verse, I want you to understand that all that man has to look at is the outside. That's the reason why we should be at our best at representing Christ. Because that's how we represent the Lord. Because man cannot see what's on the inside, we must represent the Lord to the best of our ability on the outside. The outside is a reflection of what's on the inside. Would you look with me at verse 18? The Bible says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters and comely person, and the Lord is with him." The second lesson that Jesse taught David was that he was to be a man of character. And character matters more than conduct. There are certain things that we can do. As a matter of fact, you can be faithful to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and still not have the right character. You can go through an entire year and not miss a soul winning meeting and still not have the right character. Character is more important than our conduct. What matters to God the most is who we are in secret. What matters to God the most is who God knows we are to be inside. And that's what the lesson is in verse number 7. God looks on the inward. God looks at the heart. And may we be the most faithful, the most committed in our heart towards the Lord. It is so important. Oh, what a blessing we see. Would you look at this character? This is a sketch of David's character found in verse 18. Let's just break them down. The Bible says in verse 18, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is, number one, cunning and playing." Now, by the way, you know, as I was growing up, I grew up, as about as country and backwoods as you could get. Maybe some might say hillbilly or redneck. And, I don't know that I've got too far away from that. And you know me a little bit. And I want to be my best for the Lord. Amen. Here's the bottom line. It would be many times in my life when I would see a young man doing something that I thought that ladies would do, I would think, boy, he's a sissy. That is the furthest thing from the truth. The Bible says that David was cunning and playing. In other words, he had practiced. He had put forth effort. Maybe right beside of this, you could jot down this thought that David had spent much time practicing and learning how to play a musical instrument. You know, character is not inherited. You cannot inherit character. My dad's been a hard worker, but you know, when I was a young teenager, I was the furthest thing from a hard worker. You know, it might be that your parents have lived a godly life. You don't inherit that. It's something that you have to work on your own. It doesn't matter how godly a parent that you may have, their character cannot be inherited. It's something that has to be developed, and that's what David was developing, was character. It's not developed accidentally. It has to be developed on purpose. And I want you to understand that behind a mighty giant slayer, behind the king of Israel, was a man that had their hands on the life of David, helping him develop his character. Character is more important than appearance. We find that from the scripture. Appearance is important, but I want you to understand far more important is who we are on the inside, our character. This matters the most. And by the way, fathers, would you listen carefully this morning? Providing food for your family is not enough. Providing clothing for your family is not enough. Providing shelter for your family is not enough. Providing an education for your family is not enough. Providing entertainment for your family is not enough. Dear friend, this morning I want you to understand, as a father, we have been called upon to instill character into the life of our children. When we look at this story, when we think about Jesse and David. Jesse knew exactly where David would be at. Jesse had sent David to care and tend for the sheep, and when Samuel was looking for all of his sons, he knew exactly where David was. He was out tending the sheep. He knew exactly the responsibility that he had given him. And by the way, responsibility is a great thing. Responsibility precedes, it precedes a successful opportunity. Do you know that if David wouldn't have been obedient to Jesse, then he would have never had the opportunity to kill Goliath? Did you know that? David was positioned physically exactly where he needed to be at because he was obedient with a Jesse-given responsibility. And because of that, God allowed him to be extremely successful. Do you know, as fathers, we need to give our children responsibilities. And we need to give these responsibilities to our children in such a way that they understand that responsibility will bring them to successful opportunities. Jesse knew these things. Jesse expected them of David. Let's look at the next one. Would you look with me at verse 11? Oh, I like this one. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, See him and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Here's the third lesson. Jesse taught David to be content, to be satisfied. I've got to repeat this. I'm going to walk around to wake you up. I'm going to move over here so I get your attention again, because what I'm sharing with you this morning is so important. I'm sharing with you a truth from the Word of God. The truth that I'm sharing with you from the Word of God is this. Jesse invested in David in such a way, Jesse taught David in such a way that whatever he was doing, he was content, he was happy. You said, Brother Farrell, what was he doing? He was watching sheep in the desert. Could you imagine how boring that would be? Could you imagine how boring watching sheep in the desert would be? As a matter of fact, David could have very easily said this, look, all my other brothers, they're not watching sheep. They get the better jobs. They're at war. They're fighting. They're with the king. And here I am stuck in the wilderness watching sheep. See, here's what happened. When he learned contentment, he was able to write Psalm 23. Think about that just for a moment. If it wasn't for his time with the sheep, he wouldn't have realized it was such a dangerous thing to leave them alone in the wilderness. If it wasn't for his time with the sheep, he wouldn't have recognized or realized that they needed to be led into green pastures and along still waters. Oh, God was teaching him a tremendous lesson in contentment. You know, we need to teach our children to be content with what we give them, with what they have. Some children are never content. Some children never reach a place in their life where enough is enough. They always have to have something else. You know, one of the greatest words that your children need to realize and recognize is the word no. And it's not them repeating it to you, but you repeating it to them. It's so important that children recognize this great principle of life, that they're not always going to get what they want in this life. They're not always going to get everything that they're after in this life, and they need to learn early in life. I've said it for many, many, many times in many, many years, that if you don't reach a child at a very young age, you'll miss out in a lifetime of opportunity. Children have to be reached in their early youth, and they have to hear the lesson that they need to be content with what they have. Jesse taught David to be content by watching the sheep in the wilderness. I want you to look with me. By the way, I want you to make your way over to 1 Kings chapter 1. I'm not going to give you the exact verse because I'm going to make you wait for it for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 1. Jesse taught David to be content. David missed that lesson. I want you to help me for a moment. I know you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 1, but I want you to help me for something. And you use your own word, okay? You use your own descriptive word. Tell me, you finish the statement. Jesse raised a, whatever you might say there. A what? A king. Very good. Let's add another word. Jesse raised a shepherd. Jesse raised a giant slayer. Now, help me. David raised a rebel. Yeah. David raised a rebel. No. David raised three rebels and a child molester. Yeah. Jesse was a successful father. David was a man after God's own heart, but a loser as a father. David was a giant slayer, but he stunk at being a dad. First Kings chapter 1, I just finished reading this story, and oh, how God convicted me as I read verse number 6. We're speaking about Adonijah. The Bible says, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Would you look at the words again? And his father, speaking about David, had not displeased him at any time. In other words, he just let him have his way all the time. He just let him do whatever he wanted to do. He always let him have his way. And I want you to understand today that David, yes, he was a giant slayer. Yes, he was a mighty great king and a great warrior. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. But the bottom line is, only Jesse raised respectful, obedient, and submissive sons. David did nothing but raise rebels. First, he raised Amnon that lusted after his sister Tamar. Then he raised Absalom, which rebelled and took the entire kingdom after him. And David had to hide from Absalom just like he did Saul. And then he raised Adonijah, the self-exalted king, where if he didn't get his way, and if he wasn't lifted up above everyone else, he'd turn the whole kingdom against David. Wow. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct thy son. Correct thy son. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The word of God's true. You leave your son alone, you leave your child alone, and it'll bring both father and mother great shame all the days of their life. And not only that, you correct a child to spare their soul from hell. That is the ultimate end of correction. The ultimate end of correction is to spare their soul from hell. Jesse taught David contentment. I've got three other things I'd like to share with you. I'll share them with you quickly. In verse 18, David taught David courage. David taught him courage. He taught him how to fight at home. He taught him how to be a valiant man. Back in verse 18, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says he was a man of war. Now hold on just a minute. He hadn't fought a single battle, right? David, let me ask you something. David Sr., did you prepare for battle? Did you ever fight a battle? Right. Just mock battles. I understand what you're saying. But you was prepared to fight. I still wouldn't want to mess with you. As a man of war, I want you to see something. Before David fought a single fight, the Scripture identifies him as a man of war. The Bible speaks of him as being valiant or very courageous. That's what the word valiant means. Jesse taught his son David to be courageous. How did that happen? Before he ever went into battle, before he ever faced a fight, he taught him at home privately how to win both physically and spiritually. Dear friend, this morning, let me encourage you fathers, teach your children how to fight. Now, I'm not talking about pick a fight. You know that. Teach your children how to fight spiritually before they ever leave the house. Teach your children how to fight spiritually before they even leave home. That's what Jesse did. I love this one. Would you look with me at verse 20, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 20. Oh, what a lesson here. The Bible says, and Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. Here's the thought I want you to get, that Jesse taught David to have compassion. It wasn't very long, you'll find in chapter 17 and verse 17, 17 and 17, that David had learned that lesson by taking cheese and bread and other things to his brothers while they were at battle. As parents, we need to teach our children to have compassion on those that are around us. Compassion is about one of the last things that we'll learn in this life. May God teach us to have compassion. Let me give you the last one. And this may be the most important one. Would you turn with me to chapter 17? Chapter 17, I want you to look with me at verse 20. Jesse had given, in verse 17, commandment to David to go feed his brothers corn and loaves. And he was cheese, of course. And he was told to take that to his brothers. And I want you to look at the response in verse 20. Here's the last one. Jesse taught David complete obedience. Would you mark it down? Jesse taught David complete obedience. And David rose up when? Early in the morning. Early in the morning. That was as soon as his dad told him. That was as soon as he received the instruction. Early in the morning, the Bible says, and left the sheep with the keeper. He not only learned complete obedience, but he learned responsibility. He learned he was someone that his father could count on. He was someone that his father knew that was responsible for the sheep that were in the wilderness. The Bible says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Would you mark that phrase? And he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Would you stand with me? Today, I want you to see that The great lessons of life were taught by Jesse to David before he left home. God uses fathers in a mighty way to accomplish His work. I want you to understand, as a father, we have a great responsibility. And God will never be able to use your children in a mighty way unless you do your part as a father. We have many fathers in the room today. May we be faithful. It might be that you're a grandfather. It might be that you're a great-grandfather. We need to pray for our children and our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. They face something in this generation that this world has never been against. All these lessons are more important now than they've ever been. There are giants in the land that are bigger than Goliath. Giants that are almost impossible to cut the head off of. Would you listen to me? Giants that you just about can't cut the head off of. That's where we live at today. The only hope that this next generation has is fathers that will teach their sons like Jesse taught David. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray You'd help us as a church family to teach those that we have been entrusted with. Help us to teach our children to love You and to follow after You, to obey completely. Amen. God, I pray that You'd move and work now as the invitation is given. I ask it in Jesus' name. As Miss Sandy begins to play, if God spoke to your heart today, would you come? It might be that you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not sure that heaven would be your home. Can we take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that heaven would be your home? Would you come? If you have any doubt whatsoever about heaven being your home, would you come? I'm asking fathers to respond to the invitation this morning. I'm asking fathers to seek God for His help. Seeking God to teach us how we might instruct our children. All the power of a fatherly influence. Do you have young ones in your life that you're responsible for? Seek the Lord. These are praying. Would you be patient? If God's dealing with your heart, would you come? If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, would you come? Amen. I look forward to next Sunday. Next Sunday will be our church picnic, our annual church picnic, not just because I like eating, but yes, I do like eating. Eating meetings are always good meetings. I didn't hear a single amen. No one else likes it. I love it, don't you? But we'll have a special evening service that I'm preparing for, and I want our men to be involved with this, and it'll be a little different. But we're praying that God would bless it in a mighty way. I'm asking that God would bless next Sunday. Would you bring someone with you? People will come to eating meetings that they won't come to any other time. We'll have the picnic as soon as church is over Sunday morning, and we want you to bring them with you. Nathan, I want you to come and dismiss us in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. And I want to say one last and final time, unless you show up tonight, happy Father's Day.
Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for Your blessings. We thank You for the Word of God that teaches us and instructs us on how we should live our lives. And Lord, we need this message this morning. I know I did. God, thank You for the men in here who You've given children to and the women that You've provided these kids for. Lord, children are an heritage of the Lord is what the scripture teaches. And with the heritage that you've given these families, I pray that you'd raise up godly fathers, fathers that wouldn't just be content and saying, well, we raised kids and we got done. It's over now. Lord, I pray that you put in our hearts to rise up and to be the godly men that you want us to be, to instill these truths into our children as you teach in the Old Testament in many different places, that our children may grow up and know that there is a God in heaven who can do great things for them as they saw their fathers. Lord, we pray that you would please work in each of us today. Let us be leaving here with your blessing now and coming back tonight. And we ask for your help next week as all this is going on. May many people come, and those who don't know Christ, I pray that you convict them and help them to realize their need of a Savior and that their sin will send them to hell without Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray that you'd work in us now as we leave and go our separate ways. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.